One of the turning points in my life came not just when I had made my commitment to Christ, some of the reasons and the rationale of which I will give to you tomorrow as we move through the existential struggle of defending that view. But shortly after I became a father, I was speaking in Cambodia. The country was falling into ruin, and a few weeks later it was going to completely collapse. I recall standing there as I left a troubled nation, seeing a lot of death and destruction, and my heart was quite overwhelmed by it all. And as I had come back home, I was living in Toronto at that time, a very significant thing happened, albeit in a moment, but it somehow bound together so much in my life. My wife had picked me up from the airport, and my little girl Naomi was just learning how to walk. Now, you need to know a little bit about her. When she was born, I happened to be out of town. She came a little earlier than she should have. And when my wife phoned me and told me she was born, what else could I do but hurry up and get on a plane and come back? And as I flew back, I decided to go to the hospital, but I decided to go to Margie's room first rather than stop by in the nursery, as tempting as it was. But I decided to do the right thing, because then someday I could use it in an illustration and sound so noble about it all. So I was walking by the nursery. You've got to be a dead human being, really, to not have a baby, a newly born baby, just stir up your imagination. And as I was walking by, I decided I wouldn't look, except the corner of my eye captured one little infant by the window, and the reason it captured me, because the hair wasn't lying down. The hair was at a 45-degree angle, just ready to take off. And I looked at that baby and said, what a cute little Eskimo child, because the cheeks were so pudgy, the eyes were not visible, until I suddenly realized that wasn't any Eskimo child, that was my little daughter. The name was right on top, hair zooming out like that, eyes not visible. I couldn't believe this was my own little girl, as cute as you'd want to see them. And I decided, resist the temptation, go and see Margie first. Now, as she grew up for the first year or two, that hair wouldn't sit down. It just aimed in that direction. So I arrived back from this desolating experience, walked into the home, and Naomi, Nimi as we called her, was standing in her walker. And as we arrived at the home where she was, and my mother-in-law was keeping an eye on her by the kitchen table, little pudgy little body of hers trying to keep on her feet, as she leveled her gaze at me, I stared back, and I didn't even know if she would be able to recognize me. We stared for about a moment or so, and suddenly she just about flipped over herself, darting in my direction, shot out both of her arms. And I picked up that little one, wrapped my arms around her, and as she nestled that soft face of hers against my shoulder for about a solid minute, as I just clutched onto my own little offspring, and saw Grandma sitting at the kitchen table's eyes well up with tears there, and Margie standing there just beaming with a sense of contentment. Can I tell you this as honestly as I can? In about that one solitary moment, I think I learned a lot more about life than a few dozen books that I had read prior to that. There is a clue to meaning in life, and that clue comes in relationships. Why is it in a dark